You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. I hope that you are having a great day. My name is Bob Arthurs. We pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. I want to take just a moment to thank you, first of all, for listening to the Refresh Radio program. Second, to invite you out to our services. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have worship at 10:30. Here in a couple of weeks, let me see if I can figure out the date on that. The date would be on August the 30th. That's a fifth Sunday. We are going to be doing a breakfast potluck at 9:30. And so we did this back around Easter time, I believe. And some of our congregation said, you know, we think we'd like a breakfast potluck rather than a potluck after service. And so we're going to give that a shot this time, see how that goes. But it won't be, you know, like the all you can eat buffet someplace, but there'll be a pretty good selection of breakfast food. You can come out at 9:30. Again, that's on August the 30th. But want to invite you out to Sunday school. You know, the Bible does not say go out and make converts. The Bible says that we are to go out and make disciples. And, you know, being in church for a worship service is wonderful. It's essential. It's needed. You need to be exposed to the preaching of the word. But the discipleship process, the becoming a follower of Jesus Christ that is pleasing, acceptable, and fruitful, that takes layers upon layers upon layers of activities that create the heart of a disciple, the information of the disciple, and the willingness to go out and reach other people and make disciples of them. So between our Wednesday night and our Sunday school, that is something we are very intentional about. Hopefully you can come and join us, 165 North Grove Street. If you do come, please stick around long enough for me to introduce myself to you and get to meet you. We offer free gifts to our visitors. They're not fancy. We provide a journal to them, which they can use to make journal notes for sermons or their devotions or grocery lists or whatever they want to make out of them. It just has Merritt Assembly of God on it. It gives us an opportunity to meet you so that we can, throughout the week, pray for you by name. And second, what it does for is it allows us to ask you to pray for us, because we very much need the prayers of God's people to reach Brevard County with the love of Jesus. So the book of Romans, chapter 13, little sleep deprived this morning. So Romans chapter 13, verse number 8, and it says this: "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." One more thing before we move on to "you shall not covet," about "you shall not bear false witness." If a person bore false witness against someone with an intent of harm or imprisonment or death, even in some cases, for those people, the person who was bearing the false witness, they suffered the penalty that they were trying to get the other person to endure. And so all of these things, adultery, murder, stealing, bearing false witness against your neighbor, all of those things show malice that is in the heart of someone that would cause them to do something horrible against another person. And folks, there, our world is so messed up because they have gotten so far away from the Word of God, the standard of the Word of God, and the God of His Word, that people live successfully and thrive in industries where they are actually harming one another, and then they hold themselves up as people of virtue. That's a problem. That's a problem. So make sure that you are not only telling the truth, but you're living the truth, and you deal with the relationships that you have with other people in integrity. And we'll talk about a few of the other standards here as we go along. Today, you shall not covet. Now, I want to take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, because if you just look at the New Testament summary of that and look at the word for covet, which means to desire or yearn for, having affections for something, it can be a positive or a negative. It is a positive if it is a desire that brings glory to God. It's a negative is lusting or coveting something. What it basically is talking about is you have desires. Now, let me take you back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where the Ten Commandments are reiterated by Moses, and he adds some very important words. It says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." And so we see that the coveting that is being prohibited are desires for us to claim ownership of something or someone that is already in a beneficial relationship with someone else. And let me tell you, that happens outside the church, and it happens inside the church. There are plenty of organizations out there, and it says, look, we know that staff member that you have is very important to you, but because we're bigger, because we're more affluent, because we can pay better, it is more important for them to serve with us than it is with you. I'm not saying that that's going on at Merit Assembly of God, that, you know, no one's being recruited or anything like that, but we've had it happen in the past. I'm not going to describe in detail. It wasn't an Assembly of God pastor that did this, but it was a pastor, and they said, look, our need is greater than your need. And therefore, they did something that falls into the lines of unethical for me. And so one of the things that I want to do is I want to do the things that are right. And so I don't want to build the foundation of Merit Assembly of God on falsehoods. I don't want to build it on coveting or recruiting people. Listen, there are technologies that are out there that some of the best known ministries in the country have used whenever they were going into a new area, and they did not target unbelievers. They targeted believers that were already plugged in to local churches. And so the prohibition against coveting, we can't just look out of the church walls and say, well, it only exists out there. The truth of the matter is, if we're not careful, it can make its way into our life. And so there are way too many examples of people who coveted their neighbor's spouse. There are way too many examples of people who, looked at something that they had, whether it was a field or anything like that, a car. You know, there's a song. I don't know who sings it or anything like that, but it says something like this. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. I mean, it goes way, way, way back. And, you know, it's not just a socioeconomic bracket. It happens to rich people. It happens to poor people. It happens to people in between. And so you need to get to the understanding that what is being described here is a lack of contentment. Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, also wrote this statement: I have learned to be content in whatever state that I am in. Now, that does not mean that he was not motivated, because he was. It did not mean that he did not want to reach the lost, because he was highly driven to do that. But he looked at God as his provider, and so he wasn't having to mistreat, hurt, or injure, or destroy relationships in order for God to provide everything that he had need of. And so that's what's being described there. You should have godly desires. You should have godly goals. You should be driven to be a fruitful servant. But that doesn't come at the expense of the people that you are supposed to be walking in love with. So, you don't look at things, you don't look at people and say, that's what I want, that's who I want, and no matter what happens, I'm going to make sure that I get it. That's not the way that we're supposed to approach it. We're supposed to be praying and say, God, would you provide me everything you want me to have? We'll talk about that more in some upcoming programs. So those are all some of the individual commandments that are listed. And Paul here goes on and he says, and if there is any other commandment, now I remind you, he hasn't addressed the greatest of the commandments, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is standing first and foremost. You do not get to promote the way that the commandments that deal with how we treat one another, you don't promote those above the commandment to honor the Lord your God. That's not the way it goes. That's got to stay the priority. In fact, it is the foundationally transformational commandment that makes our ability to love the way that God wants us to love our neighbor possible, because God is the only source of love. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You don't have to teach a child to want what other people have. It's something that just happens because they too are born into a fallen world. It takes a relationship with God that sets our selfish desires aside so that we can have the desires of the kingdom. So Paul writes in this verse here, verse number 9, all of the commandments are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I have written down here that a neighbor is a person who's near. It is a term that indicates proximity. It's a term that's used of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. And there it provides the practical definition of neighbor, which is a person who finds themselves in a critical need, and that critical need is supposed to be elevated, ministering to that person. It's supposed to be elevated above our agenda, above our position, and sometimes even sacrificially. There's a whole lot that the Good Samaritan set aside, and the thing that many people don't remember is those just were not neighboring communities, the Samaritans and the Jewish people. They didn't really care for one another. The Samaritans had a mixed lineage because they were descendants from the people that the Assyrian king had repatriated, if you will, into the land of Israel. And once they got there, they said, hey, we need someone to come and teach us how we're supposed to worship God in this land. And that's the origin of the Samaritans. And so the Jewish people tended to look down on them. And you will find that Jesus ministered to the woman at the well in Samaria. He also visited a Samaritan village. He ministered to a Canaanite woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, and he uses the parable of the Good Samaritan not as a humiliating story of the Good Samaritan, but actually says, you know, this guy, even though you would look down on him for his pedigree, actually reflected the love of God, was moved with compassion more than the religious title holders that should have been doing it, because they were boasting about their ancestors. They thought they had everything all figured out, but they missed the part about you and I are supposed to be blessing our neighbors. So hopefully you've got people who are near and dear to you in your life. And so what it says here is you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. I've got written down here, loving myself looks like loving God first. If you're on an airplane and you're traveling with a young child, if you're traveling with someone who needs a little bit of extra care, and you pay attention to that presentation that they make before you take off. In the unlikely event that the cabin depressurizes, please put your oxygen mask on first. There's a reason for that. And the reason is, if you, as a caregiver, do not take care of your own oxygen supply first, if you pass out, then the people you're supposed to be providing care to are going to suffer as well. So I highly recommend that we make sure that we take care of our spiritual needs, get the plank out of our eye, make sure that we're functioning in the spiritual abundance that God wants us to thrive in, so that we can be a blessing to other people. So there was an acronym that I heard. I remember hearing it when I was in youth group, and that was a long time ago. And it said JOY: Jesus, others, yourself. And it put ourselves at last. And that's the way that this is mentioned here. If you look at, you know, love God, and then you love your others as yourself. But the truth of the matter is we cannot give out the love of God if we have not taken in the love of God, if we have not positioned ourselves to be a conduit through which that love can flow. And so if you don't remember what the third commandment is, if you don't remember what the seventh commandment is, if you don't remember what the 10th commandment is, then you can remember that you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Christians are supposed to be people who treat others the way that we would like to be treated, but we treat other people better than what the world treats them. We're not looking at people as a potential pool of economic success. We're looking at people as the individuals that God would have us to minister to that could change the world. And if a person is going through a time of mourning, we're supposed to mourn with them. If they're rejoicing, we're supposed to rejoice with them. If they are hurting and they need comfort, it's very important that they receive that comfort, because they will function in that comfort to bring comfort to other people. So, what's verse 10 say? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Love does no harm to a spouse. Love does no harm to a believer. Love does no harm to a child. Love is not in the injury business. Love is in the healing business, in the making whole business. You know, so there used to be, and they may still say the words, the Hippocratic, not the hypocritic, but the Hippocratic oath is physician, do no harm. And, you know, as believers, we are supposed to function that way. But I have had experiences where people have used knives on me. But they weren't using knives called scalpels. They weren't using those to harm me. They were using them to heal me. Now, thankfully, they also took the precaution to get trained. They took the initiative to eliminate the capability of me feeling the incisions and all of that sort of stuff, because they weren't there to bring injury. They were there to bring healing. So you and I really should function with the mindset. And, you know, we've got a couple of minutes here before we go into the weekend. But we should really function with that mindset of, okay, my job is not to injure anybody else. I'm not supposed to injure them with physical actions. I'm not supposed to injure them with ungodly heart desires. I'm not supposed to injure them with words. I am not supposed to injure them through manipulation or set them up to fail. I'm not supposed to do that because as a believer, I'm supposed to be a blessing to them, not a source of injury to them. And Paul concludes here in verse number 10, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And so I take you back to, you know, Matthew 5:17, where Jesus says that he came not to abolish the law and the prophets, but he came to fulfill the law. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And he says, for assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. And whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And so you see, this is not something that has ceased to exist because we're in 2026. Jesus says these commandments are going to be in place. You're not going to be able to fulfill them or bring them to completion. You're not going to reach the status of fullness. But you and I, we can look at it and say, look, Jesus came to fulfill it. He didn't come to destroy it. He came to live in our heart so that we could be not only recipients of his love, but practitioners or distributors of that love, because it is the ultimate expression of the law of God. So if you've ever been hurt in church, I want to extend an apology on behalf of the church and ask you to forgive us. But I will also ask you this. Have you ever injured somebody in church? Because we don't, it's not a one-way street. I've done both, and I don't like the fact that I brought harm. And I said, God, I don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want to do any harm. You have a great weekend. See you Monday here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.